So is the TSA really doing such a bad job if they're keeping us safe from terrorists? We'll talk about it today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's been talking about it. I've been thinking about it. And with this being a big travel day today, the day before Thanksgiving, I thought we'd address the issues of TSA, the airport security, scanners, groping, invasion of privacy, keeping terrorists out. Can we learn from Israel? If you had a bad experience, is the government trying to take over? Is this just common sense, trying to fight against people being killed? We'll talk about it right here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or you can get involved in the discussion taking place right now on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. And let me tell you something. I had some ideas before getting on the air because I travel a lot. This year, just on U.S. Airways alone, will probably be, I don't know, 130,000 miles just on U.S. Airways, and then had some other flights that weren't on U.S. Airways. So I travel a lot, obviously several million miles, I guess if it all added up over the years, especially since I started traveling overseas beginning around 1986. So I'm in the air a lot. I go through a lot of airports internationally, nationally. I think about this issue. I just came back from Israel, and by the way, I've got a few stories about my security experiences in Israel that I'm going to share with you later in the broadcast. Very interesting, including my last trip. That's right, just a few days ago, and then getting ready to leave for India next week, and I've been patted down in India at airports there. I had some ideas coming into the show in terms of my own sentiments on this issue, how I feel about it. How I feel about the transit authority, the security at the airports, and the controversy over the scanners, the full-body scanners, and what if someone sees you virtually naked through the scanner? Would you allow anybody else to see you like that? This is someone of the general public you don't even know. What if the images are kept and can be put online to someone's embarrassment later on? Or is there dangerous because of radiation? And if you decline that, then you get patted down, and there have been all these horror stories and so on. I've had a lot of ideas about this, my own feelings and opinions. My wife Nancy and I have been talking about this the last couple of days. But some of the comments on Facebook, on my personal page, and on the Ask Dr. Brown page have gotten me thinking further because there's a lot of wisdom in what people have to say. So my question for you, a few questions. Have you personally had any bad experiences? I don't know how much you fly, but have you personally had any bad experiences? Or has your own experience overall been fine? That's one question for you. Another question, bad experiences or not, is this a necessary evil because people are trying to kill us? People want to blow planes out of the sky and kill men, women, and children. So, you're going to go through a little inconvenience. Come on, a soldier, they wear all kinds of extra gear and body armor and things like that, depending on what situation they're in. If you're a cop, you're wearing a bulletproof vest, and, you know, there's certain things that are inconvenient, but it's a necessary inconvenience because it's hopefully going to save your life. Or is the issue one of ineptitude? I mean, it's just another government-run organization, and it's not run well. We got people standing around. We don't have them properly trained. I'm just wondering your feelings. So have you had a bad experience, or your normal experience is good? Or either way, do you think this is fine? Hey, it's for the safety of human beings. How would we feel? Come on, how would you feel if we relax some of these regulations and then a terrorist gets on a plane and next thing you got the blood of innocent people on your hands? How would you feel? Yeah, post 9/11, Nancy's brother was killed in 9/11 in the World Trade Center. We're sensitive to the issue of terrorism. So do my friends living in Israel. And the constant issues they have to deal with nationally, national security, because of potential terrorism. I understand the reality of the threat. Or could it be that if we just step back and say, talk to a country like Israel, we can find a whole lot better way to do things. So what's your take about TSA? You feel good about the way things are going? You think this is bad? Is this the government intruding on your privacies? Is this the government taking over even more and infringing on private rights of citizens? Is the problem that we're treating everybody like terrorists instead of trying to weed out the terrorists? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Now listen, this is not like a biblical subject where we're going to come to a definitive view on an interpretation of a verse, or it's a life and death thing in terms of a theological truth, and you don't want to fall into error. But this is an important issue in our society. And I want to address something that a lot of other talk show hosts won't address, which is this. We are, at our base root here in America, kind of a revolutionary people. We're founded as a nation in revolution. We have a lot of people that have a revolutionary mentality and freedom fighters and this and that, and easily provoked to action. We have a take it in your own hands mentality, and that can be good or bad. In many cases, it's good. In other cases, it's bad. If you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus and you're upset with what's happening with TSA and you've read some of the horror stories and you're mortified over these things, I want to encourage you not to get caught up in the general spirit of the day. In other words, transit authority workers are, for the most part, if not the vast, vast, vast majority, trying to do their job and trying to do their job well and trying to follow orders. I imagine you got somebody there that's got an opportunity to grope somebody or look at somebody, that's what their goal is, to do that. But most of these people are trying to do their job. They want to keep their jobs, and they want to keep people safe by doing their jobs well, which means that if you have an issue, don't fall into the standard mentality that's in the, like, the outrage, the anger. Okay, if there's an issue, I don't mean if someone's abusing you that you shouldn't be upset about, but I mean your general attitude towards the subject. Don't let it be one of anger, of a carnal response. Let it be one of a gracious Christian difference, respectful of authority, respectful of systems of authority that are put in place, and yet if you have a difference, you can make that difference known, and maybe there will be a major sweeping change in our country for the better in terms of security. All right, I'm going to read some of the Facebook responses early on because they're very interesting. And I'm just looking through the window here, and I just spotted one of my dear friends, Scott Volk. And Scott doesn't know this. Scott, he does know that he's a dear friend, and he does know that he's our lead pastor at our congregation, Fire, part of our leadership team. But he doesn't know that the pre-recorded show that we are airing tomorrow on Thanksgiving, I decided earlier today, was my August interview with none other than Scott Volk, talking about servant leadership and shepherd heart. In fact, it was the interview in which he mistakenly referred to Jesus as she, just a slip of the tongue. You'll have to hear it in context. So that gets to be relived again and again, Scott. All right, just got the thumbs up. Ann Coulter wrote an article with some good insights, but with typical Ann Coulter gusto that can cross the lines of propriety a little, so I'm not going to read all of it. But this has been widely quoted. It's called Napolitano, speaking to Janet Napolitano. Of course, the ball's in my court now. After the 9/11 attacks, she writes, when 19 Muslim terrorists, 15 from Saudi Arabia, 2 from the United Arab Emirates, and 1 each from Egypt and Lebanon, 14 with Al in their names, took over commercial aircraft with box cutters, the government banned sharp objects from planes. Airport security began confiscating little old ladies' knitting needles and breaking the mouse-sized nail files off of passengers' nail clippers. Surprisingly, no decrease in the number of hijacking attempts by little old ladies and manicurists was noted. After another Muslim terrorist, Richard Reed, a.k.a. Tariq Raja, a.k.a. Abdul Rahim, a.k.a. Abdul Rahim, a.k.a. Abu Ibrahim, a.k.a. Sammy Cohn, which was only his eHarmony alias, tried to blow up a commercial aircraft with explosive-laden sneakers, the government prohibited more than 3 ounces of liquid from being carried on airplanes. All passengers were required to take off their shoes for special security screening, which did not thwart a single terrorist attack but made airport security checkpoints a lot smellier. After Muslim terrorist Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab of Nigeria tried to detonate explosive material in his underwear over Detroit last Christmas, the government began requiring nude body scans at airports. The machines which cannot detect chemicals or plastic would not have caught the diaper bomber, so again, no hijackers were stopped, but being able to see passengers in the nude boosted the morale of airport security personnel by 22%. And she goes on asking, so when the next Muslim terrorist, probably named Abdu Ahmed Ashefri, places explosives in his anal cavity, what is the government going to require then? And you can just get an idea of where she's going with this. Her point is, look for the terrorists, which raises another question. Should we profile? Should we profile potential bombers, potential terrorists? Should we do it the Israel way and try to spot the bad guy rather than treating everyone like bad guys? Or is it not so pleasant to fly in and out of Israel after all? We'll take it up when we come back right here on the Line of Fire. We're talking about the TSA airport security, all the controversy surrounding it. Finally decided I'd weigh in here. Another question for you, should we profile? Should we look for potential risks? Should we look for people that fit a certain racial profile or religious profile or dress profile or behavior profile or name profile so that we can be looking for those who are most likely to be terrorists trying to bring harm and destruction on innocent people? Or does that open the door to all types of racism? Does that open the door to prejudicial treatment, mistreating people that shouldn't be mistreated? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us on this day before Thanksgiving. Let me wish you a happy and blessed Thanksgiving tomorrow. Enjoy the day with the Lord. Enjoy the day with your family. And find something. Make it a life habit. Find something to be thankful for. You know, the whole atmosphere changes when you give thanks to God. The whole atmosphere changes when you turn upward. Just thank him because he's good. If your life seems terrible, thank him because he's good. And you will see light starting to shine in darkness. If your whole attitude is what's wrong and what's negative, boy, negativity leads to more negativity and complaining. And I'm constantly in my preaching and ministry waking people up to realities of what's wrong. It's not to depress us, it's so that we can get hold of God's plan and purposes and be agents of positive change. But Philippians 2 tells us to do all things without complaining and arguing. Do all things without grumbling. You know, I'm going to, one of these days, do a teaching about grumbling and complaining. I've preached on the theme over the years. Maybe we'll play one of my old messages on grumbling and complaining one of these days. Okay, there's another issue. There's another issue with TSA, which is, it was raised by Peter LaBarbera on his website, Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. But Nancy happened to just raise it to me in a conversation last night. Here's what Peter wrote. Should gay TSA agents be barred from giving same-gender pat-downs? If it is not proper for male TSA agents to frisk female travelers, why would the TSA allow homosexual men to pat down male travelers or lesbians to pat down women? Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano went out of her way yesterday to stress that the TSA pat downs are same gender, mostly to reassure women that men will not be groping them at airports in the name of safety. But Peter LaBarbera responded, what about homosexual TSA agents? Isn't it just as inappropriate for a gay male TSA agent to pat down male travelers as it is for a normal heterosexual male TSA agent to pat down female travelers? It just raises all the kinds of issues. I mean, it's a legitimate question. The reality is most traveling men would not want, here's Peter in his typical style, the reality is most traveling men would not want Barney Frank to pat them down at the airport security checkpoint. Neither would it be fair to assign Ellen DeGeneres to pat down female travelers. In the same vein, the Army should no more force normal male soldiers to shower and bunk with homosexual male soldiers than it would force female soldiers to bunk and shower with their male counterparts. Anyway, yet another issue raised. Listen to some of these comments. It is one of these things where you'll agree, and then you'll agree with the next one, but that's contradicted by the next, you'll agree. Listen to some of these comments from folks that have posted on Facebook. Again, get in the discussion by going to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook. Fred said this, the Canadian government just spent almost $50 million installing the full body scanners in major airports, even after an Israeli security expert showed them how he could get explosives through undetected. By the way, Israel doesn't use that technology and still has the best security in the world. Remember, a little later in the program, probably the next segment, I'm going to talk to you about some of my own experiences in Israel, including my last trip. Jason, Dr. Brown, Israel could teach us several lessons about security, but these naked body scanners and sexual molestations that are going on have absolutely nothing to do with security and everything to do with turning us into sheep and preparing people for a tyrannical police state. Just in time for the man of peace to take center stage. Okay, do any of you listening agree with Jason's perspective that all this is further government takeover, further government pacifying, excuse me, not pacifying, what's the right word? It'll come to me. Making us into sheep, just emasculating us so that we just submit, yeah, we'll do whatever you want to do, we just submit. And then the Antichrist, it's going to take over. Is this preparation for the Antichrist? With all respect to other points you made, Jason, that one I'd have to politely differ with. Ron, one of my friends living in Israel for years now, former student, spiritual son, married to an Israeli woman. What's he got to say? From Israel. I've been patted down, and the TSA agent was extremely professional. I know there are some with horror stories, but you can hate the policy and still treat the workers with respect. Yes, sir, Ron, just what I said earlier. What we can learn from Israel is simple. Question the most likely terrorists and don't worry about political correctness. In other words, if we had a series of bombings, use the typical example, all the bombings that were taking place in America over a 10-year period were from a Swedish militant group. And all of the bombers were at least 6 feet tall, white males with blonde hair and Swedish names and Swedish accents. And that's the only bombings we had for 10 years, and we're getting constant threats from these people. And they've also got other groups in other parts of the world doing similar things. Well, would it be wrong to be on the alert for them at the airport? Would that be wrong? Would that be wrong to look at tall, 6 foot plus, white, Swedes, blonde hair, Swedish accent, Swedish name, would it be wrong to look more carefully at them as opposed to look more carefully at others? Now, I'm not being critical of TSA in terms of whatever they're doing that's right or wrong or inept or good or whatever the horror stories. For the most part, I'm quite convinced they're trying to do their jobs well, they want to keep their jobs, and they want to keep people safe. And I'm saying this as someone that flies constantly, all right? I'm in the air more than some of you in your cars, okay? So I'm not saying this to be disrespectful or to mock them. But if there could be a focus on, I've always wondered, I've watched this. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. An old lady or an old man in a wheelchair goes through security, and they say, okay, we've got to do an extra check on you. It's like, oh, okay. this is not a likely terrorist. And it's not that they're examining the wheelchair. I've always wondered, why? That just never made sense to me. Eric said, I personally think it's dumb to not comply to the scanners or the pat-downs. If it's the greatest idea or not, there isn't any reason for people not to comply. Thousands died on 9/11. And if this little thing stops people, then it's a good thing. There may be molesters out there, but I doubt the majority are. To get rid of the system for the sake of a few is not wise. Ah, Jonathan, another friend of our family who's lived in Israel for a number of years, he said this, it took me 1.5 hours to get through the first level of Israeli security on one flight this past spring. I've also gone through the new body scanners of the TSA. TSA is a breeze. Security and peace of mind are well worth the hardship of the TSA screening process. Eric differs. So what's next? Body cavity searches? It is completely unconstitutional and disturbs me terribly. We're so worried about planes, and meanwhile our borders are open. They who can give up an essential liberty to attain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor a safety. Franklin's contributions to the conference, February 17, 1775. Eric says, I agree completely with this statement. These body scans and pat-downs are against our Fourth Amendment rights, which are not given by government, by God. But we have a right to be secure in our persons. We come back. My own experiences in Israel. Some interesting stories. There's some interesting interaction taking place on Facebook. I'm enjoying reading it. Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire. We're talking about TSA, airport security, as there's an uproar in the media and uproar at many airports. We're just trying to think through the issues. Are most people having bad experiences? Is this a necessary evil because people are trying to kill us? Is it the best that we can do? Can we learn a better approach from Israel? Should we racially profile? 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, when's the last time you've been to AskDrBrown.org? Come on. We're checking on you. AskDrBrown.org. If you haven't been there, if you're not on our email list, take a minute. Maybe you got a break tomorrow over Thanksgiving, and sign up for our email list. This way, anytime there's a new message that comes out, an audio message, video, debate, written article, a Voice of Revolution online magazine, you'll be the first to know about it. We'll send you updates, edifying information, and above all, we've got hundreds of hours of free resources on the website. Free. That's it. You don't have to pay for them. We've got things you can buy in our bookstore. I strongly encourage you to take advantage of the books and DVDs and audio messages we have available for purchase. But there's plenty of stuff, hundreds of hours of free materials. So make sure you visit there. Take some time. Explore it. Maybe you got a break tomorrow. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Okay, I want to talk to you about Israel before I read a few more comments here on Facebook, which they definitely have me interested. Some very good interaction. Okay, my own experiences in Israel. When Nancy and I first went to Israel in 1986, we took a taxi to the airport, and I majored in Hebrew in college, but I was more interested in biblical Hebrew than modern. So even though I had classes taught in Hebrew, my ear was not as good as writing and understanding and the written text, so in the ancient language. So over the years, I haven't used my spoken Hebrew as much, so it's in much worse shape than my biblical Hebrew, which is very strong. My first trip to Israel, 86, using my Hebrew whenever I could. We're in the taxi. We get dropped off at the airport, and we're waiting online to have our interview. This is as you're on your way to check in. We're waiting online to have our interview with someone there. And maybe a half hour we're waiting there, and lo and behold, the taxi driver comes running back in. He had left. We had left a bag, a toiletry bag or something, in the front seat. So he tells me in Hebrew what happened, and so I have to negotiate a price because he said he went out all the way in the city and realized what happened. I turn around and go back to the airport. So we paid the guy, and now we're going through security, and the guy says, have all of your bags been with you the entire time? All right? Now, you got to understand, there's constant terrorist pressure on Israel, constant threats. If not for drastic security measures that Israel has to take every single day, there'd be people dying in terrorist attacks every day in Israel, and planes would be falling out of the sky. So this fellow is now interviewing us. You know, get a little nervous, you know, the pressure. They ask you questions to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable to see how you react. And as one expert said, a terrorist expert from Israel said that they're more concerned with a terrorist, a bad guy getting on the plane with no weapons, than a good guy getting on the plane with a weapon. They're looking for the person. Because after all, you know, if you're flying, you're not going to blow up the plane. You know what I'm saying? If you're flying there, you're not going to attack the cockpit and try to kill the pilots or take over the plane. It's not who you are or what you would do, whether you had a weapon or not. So we're online there, and the guy says, have all the bags been with you the entire time? And I said, well, everything except this toiletry bag, it was out of our sight for like a half an hour. The taxi driver brought it back. We left it in the front seat. He goes, the taxi driver brought it back? I said, he goes, oh, it's fine. He didn't even look at it. He just knew the culture well enough to understand the Israeli taxi driver brought the thing back. It was fine. That was utterly, utterly remarkable. Okay, well, I'm going into Israel one time. No, actually, I'm leaving Israel. Leaving Israel, I traveled from Germany with a friend, a medical doctor. While we were in Germany, one of my suitcases got destroyed in transit. A lot of stuff got just utterly destroyed, piece of computer equipment. It was bad. I don't know what happened, but it got destroyed. This is on the flight from the States to Germany. And I didn't have room for a few things coming back. He wanted to get a few things for his kids. So we just got a cardboard box. I think that my books had shipped in or something. I threw some shirts in there that had to be laundered. He threw some stuff in there. So we're just checking some stuff in a cardboard box. So they separate you, you know, so the two of us are separated, and they're grilling us. And it was a strange route. We were in Israel for a short period of time. So what happens with this doctor? They said to him, how many times have you been to Israel? This is my first trip. They said, did you see the holy sites in Jerusalem? He goes, no, I didn't. I said, your first trip, you didn't see them? He goes, no, I didn't. He said, why not? I said, well, I didn't have time. They said, it's an expensive trip. He said, I know. He said, I make a lot of money. And they said, if you make a lot of money, why did you pack your belongings in a cardboard box? He said, because I wanted to. And they were fine. They were fine with that answer. Well, they weren't happy with my answers because they said, what were you doing? I said, I was speaking at a conference. Where was the conference? It was held at a hotel. I told them that. Okay. What did you speak on? Well, you know, I only give them general themes, obviously. They said, do you have notes? I said, well, in my head. I said, you don't have any notes for your message? I said, no, it's in my head. They said, did you attend any of the other sessions? I said, yes. They said, did you take notes? I said, no, I don't take notes. Oh, normal. Okay. Well, then I said, all right, we visited Holocaust Memorial Museum, Yad Vashem. Oh, you did? Oh, and I said, you know, we heard so-and-so speak. Oh, famous. Yeah. And so there was a special presentation. Said, do you have anything from the museum? I said, no. Well, then they, you know, they want to go through my computer bag and things. And do I have anything where I can show them why I was here, the purpose of the trip? Well, we had just had our graduation with our school not long before that. And I had the student yearbook, which was the theme was revolution by life or by death. And all these notes from students, Dr. Brown, we're standing for Jesus and the revolution by life or by death. So just some notes from students. I passed by that. I'm thinking, oh, great. They'll be happy with that. Well, they finally got hold of the hotel to confirm that I had been a guest there and the conference happened. And they had especially drive us to the plane to get on at the last minute. They go to Interpol and, I don't know, Scotland, or whatever the databases are. Okay. So I decide my next trip, I'm going to be more prepared. And I'm actually going to have the letter of invitation and all that. So I had it on my computer. Well, it was the time when my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, was about to be published. This was in the year 2000, Call for Spiritual Revolution Through the Gospel, Nonviolent Following the Principles of Jesus. But the title was Revolution, The Call of Holy War. If you haven't read the book, I strongly encourage you to. It'll move you, stir you, speak to you, shake you, empower you, etc. So I was so focused on the book being published that on my home screen, just on the home, I had that right in the middle of the computer just to look at to remind me to pray for the impact and distribution of the book. Well, they're asking me, I'm traveling into Israel, but by way of Spain. It's just a cheaper ticket. So I'm getting grilled there in Spain. And they said, do you have an invitation? I said, yes, I do. It's on my computer. I'll show you the emails, everything. Well, when I open the computer, what comes up on the screen but Revolution, The Call to Holy War? And the lady says to me, Holy War? What's Holy War? I said, oh, it's for Christians about, you know, dealing with sin, spiritual issues. I said, oh, okay. Well, we talked about, oh, you write books? Yeah. Do you have any with you? I said, no, actually in my luggage downstairs. I said, well, we have that set apart because you're not on the plane. So we go down to look at the luggage, and what do we open up? My series of books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. The first volume had come out by then. We had a stack of them. They weren't too keen on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, but I made it on the plane. However, coming back from Israel this time, I had a little bit of a delay, another security issue in Israel. So more to come, more on the TSA, and a few other thoughts to share with you. Michael Brown here on the day before Thanksgiving on the Line of Fire. Welcome back, 866-34-TRUTH. Talking about TSA security issues. You know, during the break, I was thinking about something. I'm going to share this with you. I don't often get to just tell all these personal travel stories. So remind me one day. Jerry, remind me one day, maybe if we have a little lull in the action, I've got a few minutes, remind me to share what has to be the most wild travel story of my life and probably the most wild travel story of 99.9% of our listeners. In fact, maybe one day we'll have top this and you win a prize. All right? Got that, Joey? The Kennedy Airport story. That's how you can remember it, the Kennedy Airport story. Okay, so my last trip to Israel, And I'm going to tell you one other thing. And I'm going to give, I will give you my thoughts about TSA. It's nothing tremendously profound, but some practical suggestions and maybe a couple of Thanksgiving reflections before we're done here. And I'll try. I will try to read a few more of the Facebook comments if I can, because they're interesting. All right. So I get to the airport in Israel like 2 hours and 45 minutes early, but there was a lounge I was going to be able to hang out. And before the flight, left 11:55 at night, 12-hour flight, arrive in Philly like 5-something in the morning, 2-3-hour layover in Philly, and then home hour-something later into Charlotte. So as I'm being interviewed, you know, just be relaxed. Can I just encourage you, if there's ever a security issue, just be relaxed and be respectful. Otherwise, it's just going to escalate, because now they're going to think, who is this, and are you a threat? What's going on? So they said, you know, what's the purpose of the trip? I said, I'm a professor and minister, and I did this and such. And I used to try to use Hebrew when I'd be at the airport, but then, because I'm not fluent in spoken Hebrew, I'm in biblical Hebrew, you know, they'd want to know, where'd you learn Hebrew? And it actually clouded things. So I don't use it unless maybe at the end we're just chatting. All right, so what was the purpose of the trip? Anybody give you anything? And I said, oh, yeah, actually, I was given some tea. Well, who gave it to you? Oh, it was the wife of so-and-so, you know, folks that drove me to Tiberias. Okay. I put my bags through X-ray, you know, the main luggage goes through that and got to carry on. And then afterwards, they said, you need further security check. So first they said that you were given tea. It's like, they want to check on the tea. Something, I just didn't fit the typical visitor to Israel. So they check on the tea. The tea's right. They said, we need to check this other bag. So I open it up, and I have another bag in there, within which is just a little machine, electronic thing I travel with, just helps me sleep better, et cetera, on the road. And what is it? I tell them it's for it, so on. It's okay. We want to run some tests on it. I said, sure. I said, yeah, I mean, whatever. It goes through airport security and states all the time. They said, they go, this is Israel. I said, hey, you do your job. I'm as relaxed as could be. 45 minutes, maybe a little longer, waiting. Hey, how long is this going to take? Oh, we don't know. And the guy's checking. And the main guy there, he seemed to be very friendly and open to me. So, you know, I was good. I was fine with that. I was friendly to him because I thought he may have to make a decision, because ultimately it's going to be how they feel. He said, is it a problem if the ship's separate? I said, yeah, you know, I'd rather it ships with me. It's better. You know, it helps me sleep when I'm home too. Whatever. Okay. So after 45 minutes, he says, listen, the supervisor's coming out. He wants to get some impressions, meaning about me. He wants to get some impressions about me. And they said they couldn't test it the way they wanted to. They didn't want to break it. They said, we see these all the time, but we couldn't test this adequately. And hey, look, they got to do what they got to do. So just so we don't mythologize Israeli security, you may get long delays talking to people. You may be, they may search your luggage thoroughly. And just if they've got a feeling, they've got to go with it. But they're trained well enough that they will weed out. The wrong person will not get on the plane. It just doesn't happen. Someone that's a potential terrorist will not get on the plane. They're trained well enough to know what they're looking for. Okay. That being said, it may mean inconvenience for others. No, it's not going to be the scan or the pat down, but it's going to, you know, longer interview, whatever. So the supervisor came out, and he just was not happy with my, you know, what we were talking about. And the other guy, because I could understand enough of the Hebrew, basically convinced him that I was okay. And they said, the only thing is, you have to put that in the other bag. I said, the other bag, the garment bag? I said, it's a fragile kind of thing. They said, well, we'll bubble wrap it for you. And I said, hey, you must have your reason. I didn't press. I didn't ask. Well, I land in Philly, and as I'm going through passport control, you ever live in Virginia? You have to understand, Michael Brown is a common name. Even with my middle name, Michael Lewis Brown, L-O-U-I-S, there are other Michael Lewis Browns and people with my same birth date, whatever. So for years, many, many years, there has been a Michael Brown. It happens to be a 5'10" African-American, so we're different color. I'm 6'3", he's 5'10", shaved head, goatee. I've got a mustache and a full head of hair. So we're very different looking people. But it comes up all the time. I used to get stopped regularly in Kennedy Airport and pulled to a back room, and they talk. And then finally, when the computer thing came up, someone said, oh, wrong color. So I'd learn to say, hey, look at the computer. Or I'd give them certain details, and then they'd know. I had one time landing in Philly, two police officers waiting for me. They made the whole plane sit down. The whole plane sit down until I got up, identified myself, came off. And while they were there, black cop, white cop, they had a big grin on their face because I had the guy's poster with his picture. I said, oh no, they said he's on the run again. So anyway, it's not this Michael Brown. I'm I'm really a nice guy. All right, a few minutes to say a lot here on the Line of Fire. By the way, we'll be live on Friday taking your questions. You've got questions. We've got answers here on the Line of Fire. Let me read a few more posts, the interesting interaction on Facebook. Jonathan from Israel, again, grew up in Israel, lived there some years, said this, beyond diagnosing the problem, TSA, Transit Authority, do you have any ideas or solutions on how air travel security can be constitutional and secure? Planes are targets for terrorists, and most people don't like dying. Another Jonathan, whom I also know, said this, how many flights and airports each day does Israeli security have to protect? 2 airports and 50 flights. How many flights and airports each day does the TSA have to protect? 599 commercial airports serving more than 30,000 flights. The only way Israeli-style security could work in the U.S. air industry is through even more invasive profiling and surveillance through the FBI and CIA, creating a severe curtailing of privacy as a whole. Good points. Good points all, which means it's a bit more complex than the current rage would suggest. That being said, when you're doing profiling, it has to be done right. I'm looking at the website of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they have identified hate groups, one of the most recent hate groups they've put on their map. I'm looking at the map. Is Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a Catholic order, because they oppose abortion and homosexual practice. They are now listed with the National Knights of the Ku Klux Klan and the National Socialist Movement. So maybe, because I'm in ministry and I oppose gay activism while reaching out to the homosexual community, the message of the love of Jesus, I could get targeted by somebody as being hateful or whatever. So I do believe that we could do a better job of looking for potential terrorists rather than treating everyone like a potential terrorist. I believe people could be trained. With all respect to the TSA and people seeming to be working hard when I'm out, I often see a lot of people standing around as well and a lot of people doing a few things, and then sometimes they seem short on help. So whatever it is, I think we could do better on that score. I think that we have to do our best to keep the government out of our private lives as much as possible, and we have to live with certain necessary evils because of evil people who are out there. But we could do better examining issues before examining potential terrorist threats and probing more deeply and learning from Israel in that respect and training people accordingly. Israel's sure we could do it across our airports without having to intrude into everybody's private lives. And if you have issues, just be careful with attitude. And if you have to be protective over a child, maybe a kid was abused or whatever it is, then do what you need to do graciously and respectfully, even if it means not flying, to protect your privacies. That being said, let me give you a bottom line. Tomorrow is a day that our presidents in the past have proclaimed as a day of thanksgiving, not just being thankful, but thanksgiving to God. And that reminds me of what really is the bottom line for all of us. Our lives are in God's hands. And while it's true that we can be foolish, and the scriptures say that the wicked don't even live out half their days, and Proverbs gives constant counsel for wisdom, if you live like this, you'll live long. If you live like this, your days will be cut short. General principles of wisdom, we reap what we sow. We know that's true, but we also know that every day our lives are in God's hands. Every day we have to entrust ourselves to Him. Every day we look to Him. Look, there could be car wrecks. There could be some crazy thing happened. You know, something falls from the sky from an airplane and comes crashing through somebody's house. A deer could run in front of your car. Next thing there's an accident. Someone's killed. Any number of strange things could happen. And I believe God is actively working in the world to protect and keep us. So let me encourage you to live your life in such a way that you're under the shadow of God's blessing, that you're under the shadow of God's promise and protection, and entrust yourself to Him, whether you're flying, whether you're walking, whether you're driving, whether you're going to sleep at night. Entrust your soul to the care of our great Heavenly Father, and you can rest assured of blessing and grace. We'll be back. Have an awesome Thanksgiving.